إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our 11th session, reading from the chapter of Riyad al-Salihin, as explained by Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, chapter entitled Al-Mubadara ila al-Khayrat. Yani hastening towards good deeds. An urging, one who is headed towards good to advance with eagerness and without hesitation. The topic that we are going to discuss tonight is the remaining points from the hadith of last week. The hadith that we started last week, we're going to continue were what remained from that hadith, the fourth or the fifth, sixth and seventh matter that were mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But before we look at that, we want to go back just quickly and review some of the points that we discussed last week from the first four matters that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us against, the danger of those matters if they befell us and we haven't taken advantage of the time before that. So we're going to look at the questionnaire study guide, the modified questionnaire study guide from last week. Last week's study guide had 10 questions, and we modified it to only the first 7 questions. So the last 3 questions were added on to the questionnaire study guide for tonight. So the first 7 questions we'll look at quickly. The first question being, list the 7 matters which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us against in this hadith, yani hadith number 93. Now, Mustafa on this side, start.
The first one is poverty.
Poverty.
Which makes you unmindful of devotion.
Okay, which makes you unmindful of devotion. Second one, Waleed.
Prosperity that corrupts a
person, that caused them to transgress the bounds. Naam, Abu Sa'id. Disease or sickness which would disable you. Abdul Haq.
Senility, which will make you mentally unstable.
Senility, which will make you mentally unstable. That's 4. Taib. Jamil.
Sudden death.
Death that overtakes you suddenly without notice. It's 5, 6. Now Mustafa on this side.
The Dajjal.
Naam. And last, somebody who we didn't see, Talib, now.
The Hour of Judgment.
They're counting on the Day of Accounting, Day of Judgment. Now, the second question, which of these 7 matters will not be avoided by any human being? And explain your answer, whatever your answer is. And explain, which of these matters would not be avoided? No one will be able to escape from? Yani of the human beings. We're going to start with Musa.
Death.
No one will be escaped from death. Explain your answer. Yani why you said death? Why?
Because Allah has decreed death for everyone.
Because Allah has decreed death for anyone. Anybody want to respond to his answer? Say anything about his answer? Nobody? Okay, he's supporting. Okay, what about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said? يعني هل تنتظرون إلا فقرا and then he said what يعني غنا and then he said مرضا حرما وموتا مجهزا What kind of mouth is this?
Sudden death.
And the Prophet ﷺ is warning us against sudden death. Nobody will escape death, but will everybody die suddenly? Not really. Any other answer? No problem. Good. Alhamdulillah. Now.
The hour.
The hour. The hour. Will anybody escape from the hour of judgment? Nobody will escape from any other answer.
Sickness.
Nobody will escape. Will escape from sickness? Okay, maybe. But he said, what kind of sickness? Yani mardan mufsidan. Will everybody yani be afflicted with a sickness that will yani ruin their life and ruin their affairs? Not everybody. Some people might get a cold and they'll go on with business as usual. And some people get sickness, illness, that doesn't really affect their life. They go on with business as usual. They don't miss a day from work. They don't miss a salat in the masjid and jama'ah and so on. Naam. Anyway, naam. What else? Any other answer? Taib. Abu Amir. Huh? Amir. Old age. Will anybody... Some people will die young, right? Not everybody will reach old age. And even some people reach old age, maybe they will not be senile. Not everybody who's old. And Sheikh Abdul Aziz ibn Baz, how old was he when he died? Anybody know? 60. In his 80s. He wasn't senile at all. Not one bit. Not one bit senile. Now, in any case, la bas. I just want to hear the answers that you give, and that's why explanation. So we see, what is your basis? Now, Usama.
I was
going to
say, person will be either in prosperity or poverty.
We're going to come to that. We're going to come to that, inshallah. Okay, next question. Question number three. Which two of these seven will not both afflict one person at the same time? They will not be afflicted with both of them at the same time. Usama.
Poverty and prosperity.
Poverty and prosperity. A person is not going to be rich and poor at the same time. They're not going to be rich, yani the wealth that causes the person to transgress bounds. And at the same time, the poverty that yani ruins the person. Yani that makes them forget about the remembrance of Allah and the duty to Allah. They're going to be rich and yani impoverished at the same time. Naam. Question number four. Describe the harmful effect of the faqr, the poverty mentioned in this hadith, due to which a person should beware of it. The harmful effect of this poverty mentioned in this hadith. Which poverty is this? Yani faqran. Which type of faqran did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mention here? Huh? Naam. Yani poverty that will cause a person to become busied, occupied with just trying to live. Yani food, clothing, shelter, the basic necessities of life. Person occupied, and they don't have any money, any means, so they are occupied with just trying to get the basic necessities of life. Yani, so what are the harmful effects of it? It occupies a person from what?
Worship.
From worship, from the remembrance of Allah. Yani from their duties to Allah, from the obligatory duties that Allah has placed upon a person, especially that kind of poverty harms a person in that not only it causes them to forget about Allah and their duty to Allah because they're occupied with just trying to get the things of the world that are necessities, but also even when they worship Allah, their mind is distracted by their needs and necessities, so they can't even perform the acts of worship in the way that's due. And even more than that, more specifically, the Shaykh said what? That this kind of poverty prevents a person from engaging in certain types of worship, like a zakat. A zakat. The person doesn't have any money. How do they give zakat? How will they give sadaqah? How will they make hajj? How will they free a slave? How will they spend in the way of Allah if they don't have any money? Memorize the ayat from the 96 surah 6, ayat 6, 7, and 8, which shows the evil result of the human being thinking oneself self-sufficient. Yani memorize the ayat and explain it. And explain it. Now, who memorized the ayat? Now, Abu Bakr. Taib, what is the meaning of this ayat? Know indeed that man will what? Transgress when he sees himself as being self-sufficient without need. Then he will transgress what? Yani he will not fulfill the duties to Allah. He will not avoid the prohibited things. He will not yani comply with the law of Allah because what? He doesn't have any need of anyone or anything. Huh? But in the end of the ayah, say what? What's the end of the ayah? Inna? Indeed, to your Lord is the return. Yani meaning, no matter how much wealth you have, power, position, yani prestige, how proud, arrogant you become, everyone is going to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Question number 6, discuss some of the harmful effects of the marad, the sickness mentioned in this hadith. Yani what is the sickness mentioned in this hadith? What type of marad?
Mufsid.
Yani al-marad al-mufsid. Yani the sickness that ruins, that spoils the person's affairs, that spoils their life. Okay, what are some of the harmful effects of this type of marad? Naam, Waleed. They become intolerant, selfish. What else? Naam. Naam, it becomes, under distress, stress and strain and depressed. Naam, sickness, naam. What else? Naam. Person become physically disabled, where they can't do things that you can do when you're healthy and well. Naam. People are, they are not enjoying the company of other people. They just want to be left alone. A lot of people, when they get very, very sick, they just don't want to be bothered. They don't want people to visit them. Naam. Even their own families. Sometimes they cannot even relax and find comfort in their own families. Naam. After this, the last question discussed the intended meaning of the fourth of these seven matters, which one must beware of. That is, haram mufnid. Mufnid. Naam. What is the intended meaning? Naam. What is the intended meaning? Naam.
Is the worst part of a person's life wherein the person becomes like a baby?
Naam. The person reaches old age to the extent that they return to the condition of being like a baby, like an infant, like a child, in terms of what?
Forgetfulness.
Huh? Taking care of yourself. Huh? Intellect, comprehension, yani knowledge, memory, strength, physical strength. And they go back to the condition of being like a baby. And this, what is intended here, what is not intended here, is just a person living a long life. Because a person might reach 60, 70, 80 years old and not become senile, not go back to the condition of being like a child, where their comprehension is there and their intellect is still intact and their ability to worship Allah is there. Like we see in some of the imams of the people of Sunnah, Sheikh Ibn Baz, Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen, Sheikh Al-Albani. How many of these imams lived to 80 years old, 90 years old? And they were still sharp in terms of their intellect, their comprehension, their memory, and their ability to function. They were still getting up in the night praying for 2 and 3 and 4 hours, even though they were 80 and 90 years old, which some of the young people can't get up and pray for 1 hour. Healthy young people. Now, in any case, these are some of the points that we discussed last week, and tonight what we're going to do is complete the remaining matters, that is, the fifth matter, and the sixth, and the seventh. And of course, yani, we want to remind everyone that yani, this discussion that we're having in this hadith last week and this week, and is based on the explanation of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen in two different places in Riyadh al-Salihin. Yani, what we have in the book that has been translated is his explanation of that hadith when it came first, and then the hadith came again later in Riyadh al-Salihin, and the Shaykh explained it again. And some of what he said in each of those explanations is a little bit different, so we want to try to benefit from both of them. So if you don't see in your book something that we're saying here, it's in the other explanation. Now, so we don't want like somebody looking like, what happened? I don't see this in the book. What page is this on? It may not be there. It's in another place. Now, most important thing is that these are seven matters which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed us of. That these are things which are waiting to befall a human being at any time, and therefore we should what? Badiru bil amal sab'an. Yani hasten to sabiqu, go ahead of, precede, yani beat out these things before they come. Try to engage yourself, occupy yourself, be busied with doing good deeds before one of these things yani afflict you and make it difficult for you to do good or prevent you yani outright from doing any good. So what is the point? And the point is now. If you don't do it now, you might not be able to do it later. tomorrow or next week or next month or next year, if you don't do it now. So everybody has to look at themselves and say, every day when the opportunity presents itself, I have to do it now. I'm not going to put this off till next Friday, till next week, till next month, until I get older. Right now I just want to occupy myself with collecting money, enjoying having fun and entertainment and recreation, and I'll get busy with those other things later. You're not guaranteed later. The fifth matter that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned is al-maut al-mujhiz. Ya'ani, he means by this, ya'ani, mautan mujhizan, ya'ani sari'an. Ya'ani, the death that comes quickly. Shaykh, he says, rahimahullah, ya'ani an yamut al-insan. Ya'ani, that a person dies, ya'ani sari'an. والموت لا ينذر الإنسان. And death, when it comes, it doesn't warn a person. It doesn't give you notice, notification that it's coming. It may just come suddenly. Everybody is not going to be forewarned that you have 6 months. The doctor said, you're not going to live much longer. Maybe death will just come suddenly. قد يموت الإنسان بدون إنذار. يعني a person might die without any warning, without any notice. قَدْ يَمُوتُ عَلَىٰ فِرَاشِهِ نَائِمًا. A person may die on their bed, sleeping. Or a person may die on one's chair, working. Or a person may die in the road, mashian, walking down the road and just die. Sitting in a chair, laying down in the bed, and just suddenly death may come. The Shaykh, he says, if a person dies, and قَطَىٰ عَمَلُهُ, all of his deeds are cut off. And this is as the Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا مَاتَ ابْنِ آدَمْ إِنْ قَتَعَ عَمَلُهُ إِلَّا مِنْ ثَلَاثَةٍ. Yani, when the son of Adam, yani any human being, when the person dies, all of the deeds are cut off. إِلَّا مِنْ ثَلَاثَةٍ. Except from three matters. إِلَّا مِنْ صَدَقَةٍ جَارِيَةٍ أَوْ عِلْمٍ يُنْتَفَعُ بِهِ أَوْ وَلَدٍ صَالِحٍ يَدْعُوا لَهُ. Reported by Imam Muslim. And when a person dies, their deeds will be cut off. You will not be, at that point, khalas, the matter is finished. And this is one of the things the Prophet ﷺ warned us against, death, especially sudden death. But even death, يعني khalas, the matter is finished. Except from three things. Except from what? First one he mentioned? Huh? يعني صدقة جارية. يعني a charity that's ongoing. Not like you gave one time and it's finished. Rather, you set up something in a way that it will continue. Person died and that charity, yani that foundation or that fund or whatever they set up, it continues to benefit the people. Or, from knowledge, yuntafa bihi, the people after your death will continue to benefit from that knowledge. Whether it's written, recorded, or it is passed to people and they pass it on and people continue to benefit from it. Or a walad salih, a righteous child, boy or girl, male or female, a righteous child. And it doesn't mean that when you die they have to be small, but it means a walad is any person who is yulad. Whoever is born is a walad. Even if they reach to 60 or 70 or 80 years old, they're still walad. So if you leave behind a child, even if they're grown, even if they're adult, even if they're elderly, if you leave behind a righteous child though, walad salih, who will pray for you, then you will continue to benefit even after your death from the dua of your righteous child. How will a child be righteous though, except that you have extended yourself and expended your efforts to raise that child properly upon Islam? Otherwise, how do we expect a child to be righteous? And we haven't been an example, we haven't facilitated their affair, we haven't helped them, we haven't taught them, we haven't done anything, and then they should be righteous? Abdul Razak.
Now.
MashaAllah. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. MashaAllah. Allahu Akbar. MashaAllah. Tayyib. And the Prophet ﷺ said, after mentioning this hadith, فَبَادِرْ بِالْعَمَلْ قَبْلَ الْمَوْتِ الْمُجْهِزِ. So hasten to do the deed yani the thing that will be beneficial for you in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before sudden death comes to you. Yani the death that comes to you quickly and does not give you any respite. Doesn't give you a chance to do anything. In the other explanation of this hadith, yani the Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah says, in the other explanation that's not in the book that we're reading from, he said, أَوْ مَوْتًا مُجْهِزًا, yani the sudden death, he said that this is also from amongst those things that are awaited, that we are waiting, that we are expecting, that we are anticipating. We know it's coming. يُنْتَظَر. It is being awaited. That is death. So if a person dies, his deeds are cut off. وَلَمْ يَتَمَكَّنْ مِنَ الْعَمَلِ. And at this point, the person will not be able to do any more deeds. You will not be able. Doesn't matter how strong you are, how smart you are, how rich you are. Khalas, finished. Except from three. In this hadith. And there are some other narrations, other hadith, I mean, in which the Prophet ﷺ has mentioned some other things. Here the Shaykh, he says, يعني مجهزاً سريعاً. Clearly he says the meaning of this type of death, it is the one that comes quickly. How many people have died? من حيث لا يظن أنه يموت. يعني in a situation in which he didn't think, or she didn't think that death is coming. How many people died in a situation, in a circumstance in which they didn't think that death is coming? Plenty of people. How many of the people died while they're in their youth and they're healthy? While they're in their youth and they're healthy. Naam. And they died in a fire, or they died in a car accident, or they died by a building or a wall falling on them, or by heart failure. Many things, there are many things that a person may die as a result of. وَلَوْ كَانَ شَابًا, even if that person was young. So don't imagine the person who's young and healthy that they are safe. No, doesn't mean that you're safe. Because you may be young and you're in a car accident, or in a fire, or in something, accident, whatever it might be. Or just a murderer, especially in this kind of society. The murderer doesn't know why he's killing you, and you don't know why you are being killed. From the signs of the last hour. Naam. And so the Shaykh, he said, فَبَادِرْ هَذَا, yani so hasten to precede, to go ahead of, to beat out this matter that is death that comes suddenly, because the person really doesn't know. Perhaps death will come to you while you are speaking to your family. Perhaps death will come to you while you're in your bed. Or death will come to you while you're having your lunch. Or you are saying to your wife, prepare the lunch. جاهزوا الغداء ثم لا يرجع تأكله. And then you don't return to eat it. Or a person might die in their car or in the journey. إذن بادروا. So therefore, and hasten. The sixth matter, the Shaykh, he mentions, yani the sixth matter, the Prophet ﷺ said, أَوَ الدَّجَّالُ فَشَرُّ غَائِبٍ يُنْتَظَرُ. فَشَرُّ غَائِبٍ يُنْتَظَرُ. يعني الدَّجَّال is an evil that is absent. يعني أكثر شرًا. It is more evil. Yani from the things that are absent, it is the most evil thing that is being awaited. The most evil thing that is being awaited in this dunya, of all the fitin that the human being will be subjected to, the worst of them, the most evil of them, it is ad-dajjal. And the Shaykh, he has a long discussion about ad-dajjal. I'm going to pay attention to the time, and I'm going to try to read as much as I can from both of the explanations, but in any case, I'll read the explanation that we have in the book in front of us, and whatever I can from the other explanation. And this is a topic that books are written about, right? So we're not going to cover it in this few minutes. But a person should go back to the books of the people of Sunnah, to the Imams of Sunnah, the books of Aqidah especially, and read about Ad-Dajjal. Yani in books like Al-Aqidah Wasatiyah, or Al-Aqidah Tahawiyah, or Yani Shahru Sunnah, or other books like this, well-known books of the scholars of the people of Sunnah. Yani whoever wants to learn about the Aqeedah, you have to read from the scholars of Ahlul Sunnah. Don't read from everybody and anybody. Because some people will make up anything. They will say Dajjal. What did the guy say? Dajjal is the paper money or some nonsense?
The might of Fir'aun?
Plastic, what do you call it? Cars that you guys use? And the might of the army. This is what a guy living in America today, who's supposed to be, they call him a scholar, this is what he said is a Dajjal. You cannot listen to every and anybody. You cannot do that. Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, said, a Dajjal, it is Sigha Mubalagha. Yani it is the linguistic form in Arabic, the pattern for exaggeration, the exaggerated form for something, yani going to its extreme limit, from ad-dajjal, and it means yani al-kadhib and al-tamwir, yani lying and deception, exaggerated form of lying and deception. Wa huwa rajulun, yani basharun, a human being that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send in the end of time, akhir al-zaman, and he will reach the point that he will claim ar-rububiyya, yani he will claim that he is ar-rabb, yani he will claim that he is the Lord of all the worlds, and his fitna will remain, this fitna of Dajjal will remain for arba'ina yawman, 40 days. Somebody might imagine 40 days is not that long. But the Prophet ﷺ explained that one of those days will be like a whole year. One of those 40 days will be like a whole year. Huh? And one of those days will be like a month. And one of those days will be like a week. And then the rest of those days will be like the ordinary days that we experience now. The fitna of Dajjal, the Shaykh rahimahullah says that he will be given by Allah abilities that haven't been given to anyone other than him, such that he will command the sky and it will make rain come forth, and he will command the earth and it will bring forth vegetation, and he will command the earth and he will make it barren, it won't bring forth anything, and he will command the skies and there will be a drought, no rain will come. Yani by his command, by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What a fitna, right? Allahu Akbar. Yani the people today, they do little things and people think that they are divine. And they weren't able to do that. They weren't able to tell the sky, make it rain, and tell the earth, bring forth vegetation instantly on the spot. They weren't able to do that, and yet people are blindly following. Naam. And the Shaykh said, وَمَا هُوَ جَنَّةٌ وَنَارٌ. And he will have with him a paradise and a fire, hellfire. But his paradise and his hellfire will be mumawwiha, yani will be deception. His Jannah will really be a hellfire, and his fire will be a paradise. This man, yani this human being, the Shaykh says, is a'war al-ayn. Meaning what? He's not seeing from one eye. Blind in one eye. Naam. And it will be as though his eye, one of them, is like a protruding grape. Yani a big swollen grape. Maktub bayna aynayhi. And between his two eyes there will be written Kafir. Yani the letters Kaf, Fa, and Ra. And this, which will be written on his forehead between his two eyes, every believer will be able to read it. This is narrated in Bukhari and Muslim. Every believer will be able to read it. Al Katib wa Ghayru Katib. Yani the believer who knows how to read and write, and the one who doesn't even know how to read and write. Illiterate or literate, doesn't matter. The munafiq and the kafir will not be able to read it, even if he is qari'an katiban, even if he knows how to read and he knows how to write, he will not be able to read this. Who? Al-munafiq wal-kafir. And this is from the ayat of Allah. The signs of Allah. This man, he will be sent... they will be sent against him, Isa ibn Maryam, alayhi salatu wassalam. So he will descend from the heavens, and he will kill him. Yani Isa ibn Maryam, alayhi salam, will kill the Dajjal. And this is as it has come in some ahadith, and it will be at a place called Bab al-Lud, which is in Palestine. He will descend upon him until he removes him, finishes him off. This is reported in Sahih Muslim. And the Shaykh didn't mention here, but his followers will be who? In Palestine. Who will be his followers? The Palestinians? Al-Yahud. Al-Yahud. Naam. So the Shaykh says, in summary, the Dajjal is the most evil thing that of the matters that are absent being awaited. And that is because his fitna, his trial, will be azima. It will be, a tremendous trial. A very, severe trial. And for this reason, we in our salat, in every salat, we say, A'udhu billahi min azabi jahannam, wa min azabi al-qabr, wa min fitnat al-mahya wa mamat, wa min fitnat al-masih al-dajjal. And the Shaykh said, for this reason, we do say in our salat, in every salat, I seek refuge in Allah from the punishment of the hellfire, and from the punishment of the grave, and from the trials of life and death, and from the trial of al-masih al-dajjal. The Antichrist. خصها لأنها أعظم فتنة تكون في حياة الإنسان. يعني the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, when he mentioned, in this supplication, these four things, he said from the fitna of المحيا والممات, المحيا والممات, يعني the fitna of life and of death. But he specially mentioned, singled out the fitna of Dajjal. It's from those fitnas, right? But he specially singled it out, because it will be the most severe, the most difficult, the greatest trial that the human being will experience in this life. And this is what the Shaykh said here in this explanation. And then I'll just make a couple of points, and then we go to the last point. A couple of points from what the Shaykh said in the other explanation. He said, "Al-Dajjal is the most evil of the things that are absent that are being awaited." He means by this, he said, that the people are waiting for a Dajjal. Every prophet, he came to his people and warned them against Dajjal. Except the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us more details about him. But he is being awaited. And he is al-rajul, al-khabith, al-kadhab, al-mumawih. What type of man is he? A khabith, filthy. Kadhab, great liar, mumawwih, deceiver, that will be sent in the end of time, and he will call the people, yadu an-nas ila ibadatihi. He will call the people to worship him, and he will deceive them. So the people will be tried, al-khalq illa ma sha'a Allah. All of the creation will be tried by him, except who Allah wills, who Allah saves from his trial. And we are the people who know for sure that he is coming, and we must ask Allah to save us if we are living in that time when the Dajjal comes. Maybe we'll be not living in that time. But if we're living in that time, then we must be constantly asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from the fitna of the Dajjal. And then the Shaykh, he mentions here again that for this reason we have been commanded to seek refuge in Allah from the Dajjal in every prayer. And he mentions the supplication that he mentioned in the other explanation. And then he says, Al-Masih al-Dajjal rajulun min bani Adam. In case anybody wants to invent something else, the Dajjal is a human being from amongst the bani Adam, from the human beings. Except that he is blind, in one eye. Khabith, kafir, mutamarrid. He is a blind, filthy, disbelieving rebel. and there is written between his eyes, yani that which is written, it will be read by the believers, it will not be read by the munafiq. He said it will not be read by the fasiq, the Shaykh says here. لَا يَقْرَأُهُ الْفَاسِقُ يعني the one who is what? Involved in disobedience to Allah, corruption and evil. The kafir will not read it. The believer will read it. يعني and so on, like he said before. And this is from, this is an ayah from the ayat of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Here the Shaykh, he says, again he repeats that the Dajjal will call the people to worship him, and he will say, Ana Rabbukum. And he will say outright, straight up, Ana Rabbukum. And he will not like just hint at it, and people will catch on, and then they will think that they should worship him. He will say straight up. Like who? Fir'aun. What did Fir'aun say? Al-A'la, I am your Lord, the Most High. And so, here comes Dajjal in the footsteps of Fir'aun. Also, he will claim to the people that I am your Rabb. The Shaykh says, so if the people obey him, he will admit them into a Jannah. And if they disobey him, he will admit them into the hellfire. However, what is his Jannah and what is his hellfire? His Jannah is actually the hellfire, and his hellfire is paradise. But he will mislead the people, he will deceive them into thinking, yani, that the one who obeys him will be in paradise, and so on. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the Shaykh says here, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِنَّهُ يَجِيءُ مَعْهُ بِمِثَالِ الْجَنَّةِ وَالنَّارِ فَالَّتِي يَقُولُ إِنَّهَا الْجَنَّةِ هِيَ النَّارِ. Yani the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this clearly, it will come with the likeness of a paradise and a hellfire, but the one that he says is paradise, it will really be the hellfire. And the Shaykh says, but he will deceive the people, yani he will mislead them into believing, yani, that whoever obeys him will be in paradise, and whoever disobeys him will be in the hellfire, and the reality is the opposite of that. The last point the Shaykh mentions is the sa'a, yani qiyam sa'a, alladhi fihi al-maut al-aam, yani the hour of judgment, yani the establishment of the hour of judgment, in which there will be death for everyone and every living being, generally. And he said that, as Allah mentioned in the Quran, the sa' is adha wa amar. Yani it is the worst, the most severe of all calamities, and the most bitter of all afflictions that the human being will be afflicted with. And this is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Qamar, 54th Surah, 46th Ayat, بَلِ السَّاعَةُ مَوْعِدُهُمْ وَالسَّاعَةُ أَدْهَى وَأَمَرُ. Nay, the hour, it is their appointed time. Yani, there's an appointment that we have for judgment. There's an appointed time that is known only to Allah, but it is a reality that there is no escape from, and this hour, it is, yani, the most severe calamity, affliction that will befall the people, and it is the most bitter of all affairs. The Shaykh says, and in the other explanation I want to read from first, he says, the sa'a, this one is the seventh affair that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, that the people should, yani, expect to come. It is being awaited. It is the establishment of the hour of judgment. And the Shaykh says, the meaning of adha وأمر يعني أشد داهية وأمر مذاقا, يعني the most severe of calamities and the most bitter of whatever the people will taste, meaning of the trials. And then he mentions the ayat, and then in the explanation that we were reading from originally, the Shaykh says these are seven things, meaning these seven things that we have mentioned, including the sa'a. These are seven things. حَذَّرَ مِنْهَا النَّبِيِّ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ وَأَمَرَنَا أَن نُبَادِرَ بِالْأَعْمَالِ هَذِهِ السَّبْعَ. Yani, these are seven things that the Prophet ﷺ have warned us against. He has warned us of. And if a person who has been warned has no excuse, right? And if a person said, why didn't you tell me? Didn't you see that coming? Did you know that was going to happen? They have an excuse. They say, I didn't know. But if you have been warned, what's your excuse? And what is our excuse right now, at this moment, tonight? On this day of Jumu'ah, this night of Sabt, and after Maghrib, right? You know, Sabt? Laylat al-Sabt, I mean. And what is our excuse tonight? That opportunity came to us to help an elderly person, or to treat a sick person, or to give consolation to a depressed Muslim or person, whoever it might be, to help somebody in some way. And what is the most difficult help that we can give? And if it's most difficult for us, what's the most difficult thing that you can do to help somebody? For you, what is it? Anybody? Not for you, I mean not you, for people in general. I don't want to make anybody talk about themselves, right? But what is the most difficult thing for us? From amongst the most difficult things is to give your life or to give your wealth. I mean, this is what people are not giving up. They're not giving their life and they're not giving their wealth. So, yani if a person wants to earn the reward of Allah, whatever you give for the sake of Allah, Allah will replace it with that which is better. And if a person gave their life for the sake of Allah, really for the sake of Allah, I don't mean suicide bombing, this ignorant stuff of these people, these crazy people, whoever they are, the Khawarij, ISIS, ISIL, whatever they call themselves, the un-Islamic state. We don't mean these people and the people who follow them and the people who think like them. But we mean a person really gave their life for the sake of Allah. Yani Allah will replace it with that which is better than it. And how can He replace your life with that which is better than it? Huh? How? Yani a better life in Al-Jannah, right? Now, so why should we be afraid to give whatever is precious to us for the sake of Allah? Yani the Shaykh, he says, these are seven things the Prophet ﷺ has warned us. And he has commanded us to hasten in doing good deeds before any of these seven things befall us. فَبَادِرْ يَا أَخِي الْمُسْلِمُ بِأَعْمَالِكَ الصَّالِحَةِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَفُوتُكَ الْأَوَانِ. So I command you, O Muslim brother and Muslim sister, the Shaykh is saying, so I command you to do righteous deeds before the opportunity, before the time passes us. Indeed, you are now yani active, you are strong, you have ability, al-quwwah wal-qudra. But there may come a time upon you in which you will not be able to do the righteous deed that you are able to do right now. So badir, wa'awwid nafsaka. And hasten and accustom, train yourself. Now, train yourself, accustom yourself, yani to doing good deeds, to being hasty, yani rushing, hurrying, without delay, without procrastination, to do good deeds. Train yourself now, accustom yourself to doing this, and if you accustom your nafs to doing righteous deeds, it will become its habit. It will become habitual, like any other habit. The person said, I can't stop smoking. How did you ever start? No doubt the first time you smoked, it had to be a horrible experience. But you kept doing it until you became accustomed to it. And now it became a habit and you can't get away from it. So what about a good habit? If you accustom yourself to doing good and it becomes habitual, it's hard not to do it then. Yani, it's not difficult to do it, it's difficult not to do it because it became your habit, your adah, and it became sahal for you. And your nafs will submit and comply to it. When you call your nafs to do good, to go to the salat, to perform the prayer on time, to pray in the masjid, to fast, obligatory fast, voluntary fast, to tell the truth in a difficult situation. And you're in a difficult situation and your nafs is saying, lie. Don't tell the truth. You're going to miss this opportunity or they're going to punish you. That's what your nafs is telling you. But if you train yourself to be truthful, you will just tell the truth. And people will look at, who know? They'll say, what's wrong with this guy? Why don't you just lie? Isn't that what they told Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu anhu? They said, the other people lied, just go and tell them a story. They got away. But nah, he couldn't do it. He told the truth, and therefore he was subjected to a trial until Allah sent down revelation of acceptance of his repentance for his error, but he told the truth in spite of the consequences. Train yourself to be truthful, to be honest, to be fair, to be just, to do good, and it will become a habit, and it will become easy, and your nafs will comply. But if you train yourself, accustom yourself to being lazy and neglectful, then you will become incapable of performing the good deeds. And the Shaykh, he also said in the other explanation, so the summary of this is that the human being will not escape from these seven things. These are seven things. كُلُّهَا تُعِيقُهُ عَنَ الْعَمَلِ. Every one of these things, yani impede, hinder, prevent a person from doing good. Every one of these things. So it is incumbent upon you to hasten. As long as you're healthy and you're active and you're young and you're free, free time, and you're safe, وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدِ, then hasten to do good deeds before the opportunity pass you by. يَفُوتُهُ ذَلِكَ كُلُّهُ فَيَنْدَمْ حَيْثُ لَا يَنْفَى النَّدَمْ. And when it passed you by, you will what? Regret. But in the time and situation in which regret will not benefit you at all. And from this hadith, there are a number of points that I've collected from some of what the Shaykh said and others have said, and I'm going to close with this. Number one, in this hadith, from the benefits of this hadith, different scholars said different things. Some of them are close, they're related to one another, slightly different aspect of it. Al-amra bil musara'a ila al-amal as-saliha. The command in this hadith, we find the command, badiru bil amal sab'an. That's a command. This is not something optional. This is a command. We have been commanded to hasten to do good deeds quickly. Before one of these seven things fall upon us and cause us to forget or to become unmindful of turning towards doing acts of worship for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second thing, second point in this hadith, الحفو على المبادر بالعمال الصالحة قبل الموانع الطارئة. Hastening, encouragement to hasten to do good deeds before these prohibitive things that will prevent you, that may come at any time before they befall you. One of the scholars said, سابقوا وقوع الفتن. What can we say? سابقوا, go ahead of them. Beat out. Compete. Okay, compete. But competition, what? You want to win. Win. Compete before the occurrence of these trials. And how do you compete? By occupying yourself with ishtighal bil amal salihah. Occupying yourself with righteous deeds. Not now and then, here and there, once in a while. Become occupied with it. In the same way, did anybody see the advice of Sheikh Sulaiman al-Ruhaili? Huh? The advice for who? For the person who's addicted to the social media, to this smartphone that makes you dumb. Person who's addicted to it. Huh? The same way you occupy with that, occupy yourself with good deeds. The same way you have to look at it every 3 minutes, every 5 minutes, morning, noon, and night, every time it buzzes or rings or vibrates or whatever, telling you something is happening, the same way you occupy with that, occupy yourself with the things that will benefit you on the day of accounting. Now, he said, busy yourself. Compete by heart, busy yourself with righteous deeds. وَاحْتَمُّ بِهَا قَبْلَ نُزُولِهَا. And give care and attention to the righteous deeds before the descending of any of these seven matters. And also, one of the scholars said, فِيهِ أَنَّهُ لَا يَنْبَغِي لِلْمُسْلِمِ أَنْ يَغْفَلْ عَنَ الْمَوْتِ وَالْإِسْتِعْدَادِ لَهُ. It is not befitting of the Muslim. It's not acceptable for a Muslim to be unmindful of death and the preparation for it. Yani, this is one of them, one of the seven, is death. It's not becoming of a Muslim to be unmindful of this and the preparation for it, because for sure it is inevitable. And finally, in this hadith, يعني شيخ الثمين, he said in the other explanation, أنه ينبغي للإنسان أن يبادر للصالح الأعمال. يعني, he said that what? It is incumbent upon the human being to hasten to do righteous deeds, even if, يعني, he subjects himself to those things that, يعني, the متاعب or مشاق, يعني, to things that wear you out or that are difficult to do. وَلَا يَتَرَقَّبْ الْخُلُوعَ عَنْ ذَلِكَ, and don't look forward to or expect or anticipate that you will be free from, يعني, difficulty or hardship or that which will wear you out. يعني, in other words, hasten to do good deeds even if it's difficult. Even if, يعني, it's a hardship on you, hasten to do good deeds and don't wait until things are going to be easier, because that is not likely to come, that things are going to be easier. And the Shaykh, he said, نسأل الله أن يعينني وإياكم على ذكره وشكره وحسن عبادته, and I ask Allah to help me and you to remember Him and to be thankful to Him and to worship Him in the best manner. And he said in the other explanation, أسأل الله أن يجعلني وإياكم ممن يتسابقون إلى الخير, and I ask Allah to make me and you from those who compete in the doing of الخير. نعم. آمين يا رب العالمين. Any question about what we discussed tonight? Any of the points that we discussed tonight? Something that may not be clear, if something is not clear. Now, Waleed.
When you talk about the Dajjal, the heaven, his paradise and his hell, and the trickery of it, can you further detail about what is meant by that? So,
no. And can we give further details about how he deceived the people with the paradise and hellfire? And Allah will give him the ability to do some things that he didn't give anybody else the ability to do. Yani, what's clear and obvious, and Allahu alam, yani, any further than that, is that Allah gave him the ability, in the same way that he commanded the sky and rain came down, he commanded, yani, there to be a Jannah, a garden, something that looks like a garden, but it will not be a garden. And he will say, this is Jannah. Yani, whoever obeys me will enter the Jannah. He will show them something that will be a Jannah, but it will be deception. And if they obey him, they will go in it, and they will be in hellfire, meaning that they will be punished for obedience to him. And the opposite, who disobeys him, then he will be able to make a hellfire, a fire that will be, yani, hellfire. If you disobey me, I will punish you in the hellfire. And those who, yani, disobey him, refuse to obey him, refuse to worship him, refuse to accept him as their Rabb, then he will throw them into the hellfire. They will be in paradise. Yani, it appears, the apparent meaning of it, and I don't want to go any further than that, is that those who obey him will be in hellfire. They will be punished by Allah in hellfire. And those who disobey him, then they will be rewarded with paradise. Allahu alam. That's what it appears to mean. Yani, we are commanded to disobey him. He is a rajulun khabithun mutamarrid, huh? Kadhab. We can't obey him. Especially, he says, he is your Rabb, and to worship him, how we obey him? Whoever obeys him has to be punished in hellfire, this shirk. And whoever disobeys him, they will be rewarded with paradise. Now, Mustafa, I see your hand there.
Right.
Zakala khair. Naam.
You mentioned that when a person dies, all his deeds are cut off.
When a person dies, what?
All his deeds are cut off.
Naam, all his deeds are cut off except from three.
Right. My question, you mentioned knowledge.
Yani, except knowledge that person makes available, whether in writing or whatever kind of way, they have some knowledge and they left it with people, and the people benefit from it.
Well, my question is it Islamic knowledge or any benefit?
It is clearly Islamic knowledge, no doubt. Can it include other knowledge? It's possible. It's possible. Naam. It's possible. But what for sure we know is Islamic knowledge. Yani, as far as other knowledge, as the Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen said in another place, he said that other knowledge is like a two-edged sword. It has some benefit and it has some harm. So that depends on what other knowledge we're talking about and what situation or circumstance. That's up in the air. But as far as the Islamic knowledge, there's no doubt. That's what it's talking about. As far as other knowledge, some other knowledge in certain situations or circumstances can be beneficial, and other situations, circumstances, it may be harmful. And Allah knows best. Is the Dajjal considered evil from the jinn or shaitan? In parenthesis says from the jinn or shaitan. The Dajjal is considered evil. There's no doubt about it. Yani the Prophet ﷺ says sharrun ghaibin yuntazir. Yani he said the Dajjal is evil, no doubt. A sharru, yani ashaddu shar. But is the Dajjal from jinn or shaitan? No. Dajjal is a human being. Basharun, min bani Adam. Destined to hell, or is he just carrying out the command of Allah by testing the people? Yani, would a person call somebody to worship them, and then where will be their end? I think it's clear, they will be in the hellfire. Yani, is it by Allah's decree? Yani, by the command of Allah? Is it the decree of Allah that he's testing the people? No, it's the decree of Allah that shaitan is testing the people. And shaitan will be punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani, everything that happens in this world by the decree of Allah. But it doesn't mean that the people who do good by the decree of Allah will not be rewarded for their good. Or the people who do evil by the decree of Allah will not be punished for their evil. Everything is by the decree of Allah. And people who do good for the sake of Allah will be rewarded. And people who do evil for whatever reason, then they will be punished. Unless Allah forgives them anything less than shirk. Jazakum Allah khair. And I just want to say, yani, as we close right now, I don't normally like to make this kind of announcement in this situation, but I'm just going to say tonight, may Allah save us, yani, from any harm, and may Allah make it of benefit to us. One of our brothers in Oklahoma, he sent us a message about a Muslim sister who doesn't have a husband and she's in need of some help. I'm not going to collect any money. I don't want to collect any money, yani. But I don't want to prevent people from having an opportunity to do good. So maybe a person is looking for someone to give charity to, and they don't really know who to give it to. So that's what it's from this perspective. Yani, if you are looking to give some charity, you want to give some charity, whether it's $5 or $10 or $100 or $500, it doesn't matter. Whatever you give for the sake of Allah, definitely, if it's for the sake of Allah, with the right intention, you're going to be rewarded. Allah will replace it with that which is better than it, and Allah will reward you, yani, with what you can't imagine of good. So the brother, yani, he tried to get some help for the sister, but almost no response. So now I'm going to ask whoever is here, who is able, yani, a person who's able, if you are able, then give generously. I sent the link out to the class, everybody who's on the mailing list for the class. So I'll suffice with that. I don't know what the link is. I sent it. Yani, if you got the email, alhamdulillah. If you're able, don't hesitate. Don't, yani, be reluctant. If you are able. If you're not able, alhamdulillah, make dua for the people who are in need. Every day we are passing by people asking in the street, in the market, where we work. Somebody's asking everywhere in the masajid. Whoever is able should always give if they're able. Unless you think a person is going to use that for something evil. Don't cooperate and participate and facilitate evil. But otherwise, we should give. Yani, if we give to the wrong person who appeared to be in need, Allah rewards it, even if you gave to the wrong person. So I'm saying, yani, that the brother, and he sent the link, and I'm only asking for those who are able. Don't hesitate, give for the sake of Allah. Allah will reward you and multiply whatever you're able to give beyond what we can imagine. Naam. So if you got the link, alhamdulillah, I know that some people here are able, they will respond. And whoever is not able, yani, make dua for the people, the Muslims who are in need, wherever they may be and whatever their need may be. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.